This is Connor Lennon from UN News. In Latin America, indigenous people, many of whom lack access to health facilities or clean water, are being particularly hard hit by the COVID-19 pandemic. Alicia Basner, the head of ECLAC, the UN body for the region, together with the Caribbean, who worked with Maya communities early in her career, is concerned by the health risks faced by indigenous people, as well as poverty in Latin America, which is rising following years of progress. In an interview with Melissa Fleming, the UN communications chief, Ms. Basner began by explaining that the problem is affecting millions of people in Latin America.
We are confronting a very, very bad moment in the region. It's the epicenter of the pandemic, number one, but we are confronting extreme poverty and poverty rates that are going up and up and up. And that's keeping me awake, I have to say, because poverty is going to increase almost 230 million people in this region, and almost 95 million are going to be in extreme poverty. And then when you go to see who are these people, this is what worries me the most. We're talking about indigenous peoples. This is a region that has a richness of indigenous people, but also Afro-descendants, 130 million. We have most than half are women that are also very affected by the crisis. And the other thing, Melissa, is how the lack of leadership that we are confronting today in the world to focus on this, I would say, public bad, because we are confronting a tremendous public bad as we are in climate change, as we are on public health. And we need leadership. We don't need that each country is focusing on its own. We need cooperation. We need collective action. And of course, I am in a region that is the most unequal region in the world. So can you imagine? That is really bad.
You talk about some of the vulnerable groups, indigenous people. I mean, you come from Mexico. You grew up there. What is it about indigenous people that really moves you to say you're worried about them?
Well, I'm very worried that we are going to lose the knowledge and the wisdom of indigenous peoples. I started my career, Melissa, in an indigenous peoples community in the Maya region. I am a biologist by training, and I went to the field to work with the Mayan people as a botanist. And I started, in a certain way, learning from them the names of the plants and what they were using the plants for and so forth. And I understood that they have a cosmovision and a perception of the world that is totally different from us. And when I'm talking about us, I'm talking about the Western world in a way. They have a very clear vision that we are part of nature and we are not here to conquer nature. It's the opposite. And I'm afraid that by not protecting the indigenous peoples as a whole, as a community, we are going to lose knowledge. We are going to lose their wisdom, their vision of the biodiversity of the world, of, I would say, of the future, and how they are so respectful of the past, of the ancestors. So that is what worries me. I mean, and when we talk about Amazonia, that we are losing so many hectares of forestry and the communities there are at risk. Because, of course, the indigenous communities do not have access to health, do not have access to clean water. They have been marginalized from the best lands in many countries. So this is what worries me, that we are losing them. And by losing them, we are losing ourselves a lot of knowledge behind.
Going back to that, because you chose to study biology as a girl, so how does that link to this current crisis and your understanding of it, and also those encounters with indigenous people?
I was always very impressed because in Mexico, there is this pre-Hispanic culture and the confrontation between the colonialism that emerged in Mexico by replacing all the culture of the indigenous peoples. But I think that Mexico is a country that, in a certain way, respects this historic legacy from indigenous peoples. But in any event, I think that touched me from a very early stage in my life. And when I went to my national university, which is a public university, by the way, public and for free, which is also a very rare thing happening in my region now because everything is private, but my university is still public. And what happens in that in the public universities is that you are able to be with other people that are from indigenous people's communities. And I think this is very relevant.
I know that you always have been advocating for a more, you know, social society where people don't fall through the cracks. And now in your region, you had been celebrating a tremendous amount of progress in poverty reduction. And then COVID-19 hit. And all of a sudden, you're seeing all of these gains, you know, just reverse. How does that make you feel?
Frankly, very frustrated. I have to say that this region, for the first time ever, reversed inequality in 2002. And this was also because there was leadership. In this region, there was progressive leadership. In one decade, we had governments that really looked into the process of how to get people out of poverty. And we made a lot of progress, you know. We, when I say the region, was able to pull out of poverty almost 60 million people, 60 million. But we started reversing this trend in 2014. Eh? It didn't start with the pandemic. It started a little bit before that because our growth was very mediocre. We were on austerity fiscal programs, you know, trying to save, to save, to save. This region was going into more debt. And now with the pandemics, we are confronting a very delicate situation in which we are really going to face, I think, the worst crisis, even worse than the one we confronted in the 80s. I'm very worried that finally we're going to have much more people in poverty than before. And probably we're going to end up having 230 million people in poverty, which is going to be 45 million people more. That means that we are going backwards instead of forward. And that's what worries me enormously.
Across the world and in many countries in your region, the science around the pandemic is being distorted, including by political leaders. And this kind of misinformation is spreading faster than the virus. And now we're in a situation where we have social media to spread it even faster and further into all corners. And as somebody who trained as a scientist, I'm curious, how do you react to this?
One of the things that we have to learn is the uncertainty also behind these pandemics. There are many things we don't know. And we have to make sure that we understand and that we realize that we don't know, and that we have to, in certain way, these pandemics has brought back the importance of scientific evidence and knowledge. And yes, I agree with you that today, for me, for example, in the night, I try to read as much as I can about this virus and what are the implications and the replication of the virus and how is the pandemic behaving. And I believe that this has to be, I would say, it is bringing back the necessity of having science as a source of our decisions and to make us also humble to understand the things we don't know yet and how we need to be careful about how, for example, in this reopening of the economies, this dilemma between health and economy is not a dilemma at all. It's, health comes first and then comes the reopening of the economy. That's why we need to support so much the basic incomes of people, because this is going to be a crisis that is going to last. It's not going to be a short-term crisis.
Are there any silver linings? Is there anything that gives you some hope?
Yes. It I mean, my hope, honestly, I have to say that my hope is in the possibility of building a new social contract, and that is in the possibility of having a different conversation between the state, the private sector, and civil society. I really believe that we need people to come up front and to speak. And I think that the local communities, I have a lot of hope on local communities and how they are, in certain way, recrafting the way they produce, they relate, and how these community solidarity issues are coming up front. I think that there's a lot of hope in how we, as a humanity, I hope, and as a community, we can be able to come together to engage on more cooperative action and collective action, because that's the only way we're going to get out of this.